Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara and Yuma Daf Ayin Gimel. We're learning today Lili Nishmas, Isaac Ratz, Yitzhak and Moshe. All the Nishmas we learn from Shadav and Aliyah. We are starting on Ayin Gimel and Aleph, about 6-7 lines down from the top with the words Mesve. Yesterday, we brought down a statement in the name of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He said over this din that the Kohen Mishuach Milchama also wore 8 begadim, the Shmona begadim that the Kohen Gadol brought. So yesterday we had questioned that, and we gave an answer to it. Today we'll give another question on that. Is that really true? Does Rav Dimi Shita really hold true that the Kohen who's the Meshuach Muhammad, the Kohen in charge of leading Klai Yisrael to the battle, they also wore Shmona begadim rather than the 4 begadim of a regular Kohen? So we begin, again, 6-7 lines down from the top, Ayin Gimel Aman Aleph, Meisvei. Meshuach Muhammad. It tells us that the coin who's Meshuach Muhammad ain't a Meshamesh, lo bi arba, the coin hedjot, lo bi shmona, ki coin gadol. That the coin who's the Meshuach Muhammad doesn't wear the 4 garments, the regular 4 garments that a coin hedjot wears, but he also doesn't wear the shmona begadim that the coin gadol wears. Now, that seems to say that he doesn't wear the shmona begadim. Kashan Rav Dimi, somali Abayi. So Abayi said to whoever asked this question, he said, what are you making him there for? Elazar Meshabbos Lehi, you're making him into a non-coin. How could that possibly be? He either has to wear the 4 begadim or the 8 begadim. There's no other choice. You can't say he's not a Kohen. Aye, what happens over here? Why does it tell us that he doesn't wear either of them? Elo, ke Kohen Gadol, we don't allow him to go and serve in the Beis HaMikdash wearing the 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol, because even though technically he'd be allowed to, Mishum Eva, Midir Abanon, we don't allow that. As Rashi points out, Abu Midaraisa Chazi, on a Daraisa level, he should wear the Shmona Begadim, as Rav Dimi said. But the rabbis came along and said, this is going to cause jealousy, this is going to cause hatred. The Kohen Gadol is going to see somebody else is waiting to take over for him, so to say. Somebody else has the Shmona Begadim on, and it's going to lead to Eva hatred, and therefore we don't allow it, Midarabanan. And of course, Kohen Hedjo, we can't let him wear 4 Begadim, because he's wearing 8 Begadim when he's the Meshuach Muhammad, Mishum Ma'ala Mikodesh from a reading. We only go up in Kedusha, not down. If he's wearing sometimes the Shmona Begadim, when he's the Meshuach Muhammad, so then he can't go and wear 4 when he's doing an avoda. Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Adabar Abba l'Rava." So Rav Adabar Abba asks Rava, "Really? B'hai Tana the less lay Eva? Is there no Tana that disagrees with this? Every single Tana holds that there's Eva, but this Tana he doesn't hold from Eva." Below Kohen Meshamish, and yet the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad still doesn't wear the 8 begadim. We said it's only Midir Rabbanan that he doesn't wear it, according to the answer that Abayi just gave, because of Eva. But here's a Tana that doesn't hold from Eva, and yet still he holds that the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad doesn't wear the Shmona begadim. So what's going on? Below Kohen Meshamish, he doesn't go and wear the Shmona begadim when he does the Avoda. What is this Tana? The Tanya. We learned it in Braisa. This tells us the difference, Devarim, this Braisa tells us all of the things, Shebein Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hedjot. The differences between the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hedjot. We have many different halachos that apply only to the Kohen Gadol and not to a Kohen Hedjot. For example, the Kohen Gadol, he brings the par Kohen Moshiach, Uparabal Kol Mitzvos. Now both Rashi and the Vilna Gaon and the Agos HaGra say that one of these is extraneous. So they leave out the words par Kohen Moshiach, because that is the par Habal Mitzvos. What is this? This is the equivalent of the Paralam Dovish Al Sibor. If Klai Yisrael does something under the understanding that the Sanhedrin tells them that it's supposed to be done, but it's a mistake. So instead of the Mitzvah bringing an individual Chatas, they bring a group Chatas called the Paralam Dovish Al Sibor. So you have a similar din. If the Kohen Gadol gives himself a mistaken Horah, and he does something based upon his Horah that was really wrong, so instead of bringing the private Chatas that a person brings when he does an Aveira, so the Par Kohen Moshiach brings this par habal kol mitzvos. So the regular Kohen Gadol, he's the par Kohen Moshiach, so he brings this par habal mitzvos. So again, one of these terminologies is unnecessary, because the par of the Kohen Moshiach is the par habal mitzvos. So therefore, we just delete the words par Kohen Moshiach. So the Kohen Gadol is the only one that brings a special par if he makes a mistake based upon his Orah, not a regular Kohen. Likewise, he's the only one to bring the par Yom Kippurim. He has to bring a par on Yom Kippur. We've been discussing that for many parakim in the Masechta so far, the power of Yom Kippur, along with the Sar Lashem. So the power of Yom Kippur can only be brought by the Kohen Gadol. All the avoda of Yom Kippur has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Likewise, the chavitin that the Kohen Gadol brings, machatzisa babokir, machatzisa ben raboyim, which is known as the yasiris soefa, so that special korban mincha that the Kohen Gadol has to pay for out of his own pocket, so that only comes from the Kohen Gadol. So these types of korbanos can only come from the Kohen Gadol, they don't come from anybody else. And lo pareya, rachmona litzlan, if the Kohen Gadol is in mourning because he nebuch lost one of the Zayin Krovim, so he doesn't leave his hair uncut. Lo pareya, a regular person, is Rosho Legadlo Seir. Rashi says, Macham Sevel. You don't take a haircut. You don't shave. But not the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has an obligation to make sure that he's kempt at all times. He can't be unkempt. And therefore, Lo Poreya, he doesn't let his hair grow. Lo Poreim, he likewise doesn't do a normal Kriya in his clothing. We normally rice Kriya, Nebuch, Rechman al Sain, you have to rip Kriya upon the loss of one of the Zion Krovim. So he's not Korea, his begodim, in the regular fashion. Avol Poreim, Hu Milamata. He does a little bit at the bottom. Rashi says, a shifule begodim, at the hem, at the garment at the bottom. So he makes a little cut, but he doesn't do the cut up in the top. The hedjo, as opposed to Kohen hedjo, is Nebuchadnezzar, so he makes a regular cut, Lamala, in the normal place that you make a cut. For the parents, it would be on the side of the heart. For the other five relatives, it would be on the other side, on the right side. Vein metame likrovov, and the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be metame for his Zayin Krovim. So he has to mourn for them, but he's not allowed to be metame for them. Only time the Kohen Gadol is allowed to be metame is for a mace mitzvah. There's nobody else to take care of the mace, and then he's allowed to, whether it's his relative or not. But he's not allowed to be metame for his relatives as long as there's somebody else that can take care of it. Umetzuva ala basula, and the Kohen Gadol is obligated to marry a basula. He's not allowed to go marry a woman who had been an almana, Rachmana Litzlan. She lost her first husband. So a regular Kohen is allowed to marry an almana, but the Kohen Gadol must marry Besulami Amavi Kachi Shah. And Umuzra al almana, he's not allowed to marry. He's Badavka as a mitzvah to marry a Besula, even if she wasn't married, if she's not a Besula, so he's not allowed to marry her. And he's likewise not allowed to marry a woman who's an almana. Nothing wrong with an almana for a Kohen, a regular Kohen, or for a Yisrael, but the Kohen Gadol is Muzra al almana. One sort of beautiful explanation for this, and that is when the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lefnim, so he made daven that a certain man might die, so that woman would become a widow. And then he would be allowed to marry her, if he was allowed to marry a widow. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I'm not going to let you ever marry an almana, so this, you won't be davening inside Lefnai V'Lefnim for such a thing. Very interesting idea, that a person has such a taiva for arayis, a person always has such a taiva for sexual moralities, as we learned the other day, that the Chazal wanted to try to take it away and minimize it somewhat. So this is what the Kohen Gadol might be thinking of. That's why we also lay in the arayis on Yom Kippur, because this is something that is at the forefront of a person's mind. It's such a strong Yetzirah, so we have to combat it at all times. Then the Brisa continues and says, Umach Ziris Arotzeyach, that we know that there's a person who kills by accident, so he has to be put into the Ari Miklot. And when he's in the Ari Miklot, he stays there for the life of the Kohen Gadol. So when the Kohen Gadol dies, so then he gets to go out. But not a regular Kohen. A regular Kohen dies, that doesn't do anything for the people that are that had killed by accident. They were Rotzkin Bishogek, so they don't get to go out. But only when the Kohen Gadol dies, Umach Ziris Arotzeyach. Furthermore, the Brisa says that even if the Kohen Gadol is an Onein, he's Nebuch, his seven relatives that he has to mourn for, oh boy, he's not allowed to be Matami to them, but he's still allowed to be doing Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, or Makriv Onein, whereas nobody else, of course, is allowed to be Makriv when they're in Aninus. But even the Kohen Gadol, who's allowed to be Makriv Onein, the Eino Ocha, but he can't eat from any of the Korbanos that he is allowed to sacrifice. And likewise, Veino Cholik, he doesn't even get a portion of them, even though he'd be able to eat them that night. Aninus Daraisa, at most, is only that day, but he wouldn't be allowed to take a portion, as Rashi tells us, because if you're not able to eat it, so then you're not entitled to a portion. Rashi says, in Dibra Maslo, Veino Ochel, Klomar, Afapi Shu Cholok Min HaHedjot Inin HaKrova, even though he's different than the Hedjot in regards, he's allowed to do the actual bringing of the sacrifice where the Hedjot cannot, Shavuhu Lo Inin HaKhil, he's not allowed to eat it. And the next Rashi, Veino Cholok, says, Kishu Onen Lecho La'erev, he'd be allowed to eat it that night, Kishu Tavor Aninos, as the Aninos departs, certainly on the Raisa level, so then he'd be allowed to eat it. So therefore, maybe he'd be allowed to get a chalukah from it as well. So we say, no, the Gemara in Zvachim tells us that HaRoy Le'achila Cholik, only somebody who's able to eat it right now is getting a portion. She'en HaRoy Le'achila right now, in a Cholik, even though he'll be able to eat it later on. So that's what it means, that he's Makrib, but he's in Ochel, in a Cholik. And then, the Kohen Gadol V'notel Chelik Barosh, he gets to take a portion ahead of everybody else. Normally, the people in the Beis Av, they split up the korbanos that they're bringing. But the Kohen Gadol comes along and says, no, I think I'd like a piece. So he gets a piece ahead of everybody else. And umakriv chelib rosh. And if he says, listen, I want to do the avodah today, even though the Beis Av is on and they're supposed to do the avodah, so the Kohen Gadol has the right to go do, to take a chelik anytime he wants and to be makriv any chelik that he wants ahead of everybody else, berosh. Umishamesh bishmona kelim, and here's we get to the point that we're interested in. Only the Kohen Gadol wears the eight begodim. Mishamesh bishmona kelim, and upatur al tumas mikdash v'kodoshav, and he doesn't have the din of having to bring a special korban olav yored if he's metame by going into the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't realize it was tummy, or he didn't realize it was the Beis HaMikdash. So normally that would be a korban olav yored that you bring tumas mikdash v'kodoshav. So the kohen gadol is part of that because he wears the tzitz, and therefore he's always exempt from having to bring such a korban. As Rashi says, the Gemara in Harios teaches us this based upon sukkim, and that is the din. And finally, the whole of all the Shomer Kippur in Ekshir Zelabo. And finally, as we learned throughout the Masechta, the Kohen Gadol has to do all the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Nobody else can do it. Now, the Braisa continues and says, the same halachas that apply to a Kohen Gadol who's Moshuach, who was anointed, like in the first Beis HaMikdash, Bechula Noagos B'merubah Megadim. The same thing applies after Yoshio hid the Shemen HaMishcha towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, according to the opinion that says that he hid it. And it no longer was available, and therefore, how did they have a Kohen Gadol in the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, and as well for the entire period of the second Beis HaMikdash? So they would dress him up in the eight Begadim. That's called Merubah Begadim, and by wearing the Merubah Begadim, that made him, that initiated him as the Kohen Gadol. So all of the dinim that we just said that applied to a Kohen Gadol that was Mashuach, that was an anointed Kohen Gadol, they all applied to the Merubah Begadim, with one exception, Chutz, Mipara Bala Mitzvot, except that he doesn't bring a special par if he makes a Horah incorrectly, so he brings the regular Chatos that a person brings, the Seirah, or the Kizba. So he brings a regular Chatos. There is no special par HaBala Mitzvot for the Kohen Gadol if he was only Merubah Begadim and not Mashuach. And likewise, the chula noagos b'moshuach shavar. All of these dinim also apply to a Kohen Gadol that was retired. He used to be the Kohen Gadol, but he's no longer the Kohen Gadol. He served for a period of time because the Kohen Gadol was tamei, or there was some psul, and now he's no longer the Kohen Gadol, so he's what's called moshuach shavar. He was the Kohen Gadol, he was anointed, but now he's not functioning as a Kohen Gadol. So all of these halachos apply to him as well. Here, two exceptions, of course, we par Yom Kippur, Basir Seifa, except that he doesn't go and do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, because the regular Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah, and only one par is brought on Yom Kippur. And likewise, the Asir Seifa, the Chavita that the Kohen Gadol brings, Bachatzisa Baboka, Bachatzisa Bein Harabayim, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, so only one person does that. So the Kohen Gadol does it, and not the Kohen Gadol, the Mashuach Sha'avar. And then it tells us, V'chulon eino hagos b'mishuach muchoma. And then it tells us that all of these laws, including the mistama, not wearing the eight begadim, they all apply to the mishuach muchoma. The dinim of a kohen hedyot applied to mishuach muchoma, not the dinim of a kohen gadol applied to mishuach muchoma, with some exceptions, but not the merubah begadim exception. Chutz michamisha dvar ma'amurim b'parsha, except for the five things that are specifically mentioned, and they are lo pareya. He also doesn't let his hair grow. He's allowed to take a haircut, obligated to take a haircut. Below Purim, he doesn't rip Kriya at the top, he rips Kriya at the bottom. Below Mitamli Krova, he's also not allowed to be Mitami for his relatives. Umetzuvala Basula, he also is obligated to marry Bedavka Basula. Umuzvala Mana, he's also not allowed to marry Nalmana. And one more, Umasaris or Seachid Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says that if there's a person who was a Horeg Bishkaga, he killed somebody by accident and is in the Ari Miklat, so then he also goes out of the Ori Miklat at the death of the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad as well. That's the opinion of Yehuda. Again, the Chacham disagreed. The Chacham Amim Eino Machzir. Now, what do you see? Clearly, we allow other Kohanim to wear Merubah Begadim. So this Tana, this Braisa, clearly doesn't worry about Eva. Because if there was an Eva concern, then only the Kohen Gadol, who's currently serving, should be allowed to wear the Shemona Begadim. But it clearly says the Mashuach Sha'avar wears the Shemona Begadim. The only thing is, he doesn't do the Par Yom Kippurim and the Asir Seifa. So clearly, this Tana doesn't hold from Eva. And yet, clearly, there is no wearing of the Shemona Begadim by the Mashuach Muhammad. So this is a Kashan Ravdimi. Where it says no. Who says this Tana doesn't hold from Eva? No. Maybe, in fact, the Mashuach Muhammad does midaraisa wear eight Begadim, but Mishum Eva, midarabban, and they said he shouldn't. Why Eva for the Mashuach Muhammad and no Eva for the Mashuach Sha'avar? So there's a difference between them, the Gemara says. Ki les le Eva b'dhabase, b'dhizuta mine islay. When do we say there's no Eva? This guy was the Kohen Gadol also. Like a president of the United States, Lahabdil, isn't going to be jealous that another president of the United States is also called Mr. President. Right? He was a former president, just like me, so therefore he's on my level, and therefore you're not going to be jealous that they also call him Mr. President. But If you see that somebody is not Nis the president, he's not on your same level, and that they're calling him that, that's going to lead to Eva. So for a Kohen Gadol, Sha'avar, Mashuach Sha'avar, so the current Kohen Gadol is not going to have any Eva, because the Kavasa, he's the same level as him, and he won't be upset that he's also wearing the Shemona Begadim. But albeit on a Daraisa level, the Mashuach Muhammad is allowed to wear the Shemona Begadim, but if he sees this, quote, inferior Zutar Minei Kohen wearing the Shemona Begadim, that's going to get him upset. That's going to give Eva. And therefore, Mid the Rabban, and the rabbi said that he shouldn't wear the Shemona Begadim. But you can't bring me your eye against Rabdimi from this Braisa, because in fact, this Tana does hold that this Eva by the Mashuach Muhammad. Now, that concludes our discussion of Rabdimi's statement. But now we have a question: did Rabdimi make this statement, or did somebody else make this statement? So Yosef Rabbi Avo, when Rabbi Avo was learning this, the Karma Law Loha Shmaisa Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan, he said it not from Rabdimi, but he said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan himself. And when Rav Ami and Rav Asi heard this, they were star tamidim of Rav Yochanan. They said, there's no way the Rebbe said this, and hadrinu Rav Ami v'Rav Asi lafayu. They turned away, and they didn't want to argue with Rabbi Avo, but they wanted to show their displeasure. They wanted to show that they didn't agree with him, so they turned away. In other words, we're not masking that Rav Yochanan said this. Alternatively, some had the version, Ika the Amre, that it was Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amara who said this in the name of Rav Yochanan, vadrinu Rav Ami v'Rav Asi lafayu. And according to this version, the same thing happened. Rav Ami and Rav Asi didn't like this, but they didn't want to say anything to Rav Chiya bar Abba directly, so they just turned away. So in both situations, either Rabbi Avo or Rav Chiya bar Abba said something, and they didn't want to confront him directly, but they turned away to show that the displeasure, that they disagreed with him. Now, according to the second version, why wouldn't they have told him directly? That's what the Gemara says. Maskel or Rapapa. Rapapa says, I understand the first version, Mishlomo Rabbi Avo, he was Mishum Yakara, the Bekesa. He was held in very, very high position by the house of the Kesar. So therefore, you know, they didn't want to start up with him, so to say, and say, you're wrong. Rav Yochanan never said that. So they just turned away to show their disapproval. However, that wouldn't have applied. El Rav Chiya bar Abba, he wasn't from the house of the Kesar. He wasn't held in such esteem by the government that they couldn't tell him to his face, you're wrong. Neymulei Neymar, lo amar Rav Yochanan. They should have told him directly. The Rav Yochanan didn't say this. So therefore, Rav Papa says that I don't think this Ikar the Amre, that it was Rav Chiya bar Abba, really was correct. Mustama, it really was Rabbi Abba. Then the Gemara says, Kiyosu Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said, you know what the din is? Nishal Itmar, that the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad, he only wears the Shemona Begadim when they're asking him. We said that he is also allowed to be wearing the Urim V'Tumim, the Choshen, and the Ephod with the Urim V'Tumim, and if they were to ask him, so that's when he wore the Shemona Begadim. At other times, he did not. And a Braisa supports this. Tani Nami Hochi, Begadim Shekohen Golu Mishamesh Behen, Meshuach Muhammad Nishal Behem. So yes, the Kohen Gadol wears the Shemona Begadim when he does the Avoda. Meshuach Muhammad doesn't wear them when he does the Avoda. But if they're going to ask him a question, so then he puts on the Shemona Begadim and they ask him the question of the Urim V'Tumim while he's wearing the Shemona Begadim. Mark continues and says, another Braisa, Tana Rabbanon, how did it exactly use the Urim V'Tumim, Ketzat Sholim, how did one go and ask the Urim V'Tumim of a Shaila, whether it was worn by the Kohen Gadol, was worn by the Meshuach Muhammad, how did you physically go ask the Urim V'Tumim of a Shaila? So the Braisa tells us, a Shoel Ponov Klapi Nishol, the one who's asking the question faces the one who he's asking it to, the Kohen Gadol, who's wearing the Choshen Mishpah with the Urim V'Tumim inside of it. And Vah Nishal Ponov Klapi Shechina, and the one who is being asked the question, he faces the Shechina. So the machlok is amongst the poskim, whether they're facing each other. So while the Kohen Gadol has to be facing towards the Shechina, has to be facing towards the Kodesh Kodashim, but the bottom line is he face-to-face with the person asking the question, or is the person asking the question behind him? They're both facing towards the Kodesh Kodashim, so the person asking the question is behind the Kohen Gadol, who is facing the Kodesh Kodashim, or is the person asking the question, in fact, standing in between the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh Kodashim, facing him, and they're face-to-face. In any event, that's the way they are. Vanisha Ponav Klapi Shechina. Again, the critical thing is that the one being asked has to be facing towards the Kodesh Kodashim, where the Aron was, and Hashol Omer, the one who's asking the question, he asks, for example, Eredov Acharei HaGidur HaZeh, we said you're only allowed to ask questions that are of public consequence. So, for example, should we be running after this troop? Should we be fighting this Muhammad? And the one who's wearing the Shemona Begadim, the Kohen Gadol, he would answer, V'anishol Omer, Ko Amar Hashem Alei Vatzlach. He would say, yes, the Urim V'Tumim have told me, we'll see in a moment how that exactly works, how does the Kohen Gadol know what the Urim V'Tumim is saying? So he would announce, yes, the Ur Matum say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ko Amar Hashem, Alei V'Yatzlach. Yes, go up and fight them in battle, and you will be victorious. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ein Tzarach Lomar Ko Amar Hashem. He doesn't have to say the words Ko Amar Hashem, because it's obvious that this is what Hashem said. Elo, all he says is, Alei, go up, V'Yatzlach, and go and be victorious. Now, other details about the actual asking of the Ur Matum, Ein Shol Mekol. You don't say it in a loud voice. We're not from Kitanei Ha'amuna that we think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyochu cannot hear. So it should be done in a way that nobody else really hears other than the Kohen Gadol who he's asking it to. And this is based upon the Pasuk that it says, Shenema V'Sha'alo. He says it just to him. He doesn't tell it to the whole world. He says it to the Kohen Gadol who's wearing the Shemona Begadim. V'lo Mahar Beliba. But he doesn't think it as well. You think, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what I'm saying. No, you have to actually say it. This is similar to the Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei, only you're supposed to hear your Shemona Esrei. Nobody else is, but you're not supposed to think your Shemona Esrei. You're supposed to actually say it. So to Avi, you're supposed to say your question quietly to the Kohen Gadol. He can hear it. Nobody else should hear it. And you can't just think it in your heart. Because the Pasuk says, Shinema v'sho'alo lifnei Hashem. It says you should go and ask him in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The full Pasuk actually says, v'sho'alo b'mishpat ho'rim lifnei Hashem. Okay. Then it says, Elo kidero sh'omro chana b'tivloso. The way that one asks the question is similar to the famous Gemara that we had with Chana in the Beis HaMikdash, that she was very, very quietly saying her tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking for a son, and that is the source that we learn out, the way we're supposed to daven Shemoneh Esrei. Like Chana davened in her tefillah, which was quietly. Eli thought that she was a shikora, because that's what he saw on the Choshimish, but it really was kisara, and he misunderstood the Choshimish, but the Urim Tumim, as we'll see in a moment, how that exactly works. Anyway, the Pasuk tells us, Shinemar, the Chana hi medaberes aliba. She was speaking from her heart, but she was actually speaking. She was saying the words out loud, but only she could hear them. Then it tells us, Ein Sholim Shnei Dvarim Kiyachad. You're only allowed to ask one question at a time, even if it's roughly related to each other. You ask the first question first, and then you ask the second question afterwards. Vim Shal, and if in fact somebody did ask two questions, Ein Machzirim El Echad. They'll only answer you for one question. You can only ask one question at a time, and in fact, Ein Machzirim El Rishon, and they'll only ask you on the first thing that you asked. It really should be the first thing that you were supposed to have asked, as we'll see in a second. And this is also based upon the Sukkim Shenemar. As the Pasuk says, Hayaskiruni Vale Ki'ilo Biyodo Hayered Shol Kasher Shoma Abducha Hashem Al Kisrael Hagedno Li Abdecha Vayomer Hashem Yered. So these were two questions that David HaMelech had asked. Will Shol go and fight with me? And are they, when I run away to Ki'ilo, are they going to turn me over to Shol? And Hashem responded, Vayomer Hashem Yered. Yes, Shol is going to go down to you. Now, here he answers the second question that he asked first. The first question was, are the people of Ki'ilah going to give me over to Shaul? And then he says, the Shaul is going to come after me. So the Gemara says, you just said a minute ago, V'amris Ein Machzir El Rishon. You said if he asked two questions, he only answered the first question. Here, he asked two questions, and he answered the second question. So why did it work this way? So Gemara says, David Shaul, and we turn to Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, David asked his question, Shelo Kiseder. He didn't ask it properly. As Rashi says, the top Rashi, Hayel Lishol Hayirit Shaul. He first should have asked, is Shaul going to come after me? And then he should have said, are the people of Kila going to turn me over to him? And the Urim V'Tumim, however, responded in the way the question should have been asked by responding, V'chzir Lo Kiseder. The Urim V'Tumim answered him, the second question first, because that should have been the first question. So David realized by this response that he had asked inappropriately. So Mekivin Shodash Shal Shaloki said, you saw he asked the second question first, and the first question he asked second, so he then switched it around. Chazav Shaloki said, then he asked it in the right order. Shenemar, Hayas Giru Bale Ki'ilo Osi, Yes Adashai, Biat Shal, Bayomer Shem, Yas Giru. Yes, they are going to come and give you over to Shal, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded. So therefore, the right way to do this is ask one question at a time, and you'll be answered with that question. If you were to ask two questions at a time, you'll only get one answer, and it will be the one that should have been asked first. There's a pressing need to ask two questions. So then, machzir l'shnayim. Then the Urim V'Tumim will answer both. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Vayishal David b'Hashem le'mor." David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the girsa that we have is Ha Erdov, but the actual pasuk it just is Erdov Acharei Hagedur Hazeh. Hasigenu. So he asked him two questions. Should I go after this enemy, Ha-Erdov, or Erdov Acharei HaGedur HaZeh? And then, second question is, Hasigenu. Will I be victorious? Will I be able to overcome them? So he was answered, Vayomer, and again, the Pasuk doesn't say Vayomer Hashem, that's the Girsa that we have, but we have Vayomer Lo, it should be, Redov Ki Haseg Tasig Vahatzel Tatzil. Yes, go after him, and you will be successful. You will overtake him, and you will be able to accomplish what you need to accomplish. Now, the Gemara adds one additional thing. Even though a Navi who gives out a prophecy, so that prophecy, if it's good, will never be taken away. But if it's bad, so if the people do tshuva, like they did, for example, with Yonah, so then a prophecy can be retracted. But if the Urim V'Tumim says something, it won't be retracted. And this is based upon the words, Shenemar, Bimishpat Ho'urim, right? We just had the words. He asked, Bimishpat Ho'urim. Vishalo Bimishpat Ho'urim implies that it's a mishpat. It's going to be definitive no matter what. Whether it's good or bad, it won't be retracted. Then the Gemara asks, Loma Nikor Shimon Urim V'Tumim. Where did it get this name Urim V'Tumim from? So the Gemara explains, Urim means Shemeirin Esterein. Rashi explains in the third line at the top, Shemirin Esterein, Mefarshim Esterein. It explains the words. In other words, it tells them what they should be doing. And Tumim is Shemashlimin Esterein. It means that it will go and complete their words. In other words, whatever it says, that is what is going to happen. We have the famous story that's brought down in Shoftim, in the end of Shoftim. It tells us the famous story of the Pilegish Begiva. And Nebuch, that was a terrible, terrible tragedy for Klai Yisrael, the whole Maisa, that they killed a certain Pilegish, and it was felt that Binyamin should have been held accountable for not allowing this to happen, and there was a civil war, and there were three battles. In the first two battles, Binyamin defeated the rest of Klai Yisrael very badly. Then in the third battle, Binyamin was almost wiped out. Binyamin was defeated very badly. There were only 600 people left in Binyamin, men left in Binyamin, including Shaul HaMelech. In any event, so there, they seem to have asked the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim said, seemingly, go and fight, and you'll be victorious. But that's not what happened. So what happened that the Urim V'Tumim didn't tell them the right answer? It didn't seem to give the right answer. That's not what happened. So the Gemara says, no, heim, shelo bichanu im lenatzeach. They didn't ask the right question. They asked, are we going into battle? And the Urim V'Tumim said, yes. So the first time, they just asked, should we go into battle? And it said yes, but it didn't say whether they would win or lose. So they lost the first two times. Ubachrona shabichanu. The third and final time, they said, are we going to win the battle? Ubachrona shabichanu. So they asked it the right way, and the hiskimu, and it said that they would win. Shenemar, as it says in the last time, Upinchas ben Eloz ben Aaron, Omed lefonov bayomim moheim. So Pinchas was the Kohen Gadol at that time, Lamar, and he asked the following shaila to the Urim V'Tumim. Ha'osif od lotzei islam milchoma. Should we go out again for the third time to the battle in B'nei Binyamin Ochi with our brother Binyamin in Echdal? Are we going to be successful? Or should we not go out? And because we wouldn't be successful. So this time, Ayom Hashem, Alu, Kimochar, Etnenu, B'yadecha. Here the Urim V'Tumim said, no, you're going to win. The first two times, the Urim V'Tumim didn't tell them they're going to win. Just said, go out to the battle. So again, whatever the Urim V'Tumim says is absolutely going to come true. Now, how did the Urim V'Tumim actually work? Someone says, Ketzad Nasis, how did you actually go ask the Urim V'Tumim? It wasn't an oracle that spoke. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have a famous machlokis. At least, according to many, it's a machlokis. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Boltos. It says that the letters that are in the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol with all of the Shvatim, so those letters would project out, boltos, they would protrude out, and they would go out in a certain order, so you could detect which one came first, which one came second, and it spelled out the words. Others say, no, didn't come out in an order, it all lit up. That's what I mentioned by Eli with Chana. He saw the letters Shikora, Shin Chof Reish Hei, and he thought it meant Shikora, but it really meant Kisara, Shi Tzadek, it's like Sara. So again, there's different opinions as to what it meant that it boltos, and they all boltos at the same time, and you have to figure out like a jumble, an anagram of what it was. Or no, it went out. This one was the first one, this was the second one, and you could read the word. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said, boltos. Reish Lakish Omer Mitztarfos. It said that the letters all joined together in a certain way that gave them the message. Again, similar idea, that all the letters in some way light up or in some way became recognizable, either again all at once or one after the other. There's an interesting Rambam that says that, in fact, it didn't protrude, but he just saw this through Nevuah. He didn't actually see it projecting, but he saw it in a Nevuah projecting outwards. Okay. So this was the way that the Urim V'Tumim responded. Gemara says, "V'ha lo k'siv b'hu tzadi." But wait a second. In all of the Shvatim, there is no letter tzadi. So what happens if they needed a tzadi in the answer? So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, he says, no, they also had the names of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, k'siv sham, and therefore that's where they got the tzadi from Yitzchak's name. Gemara says, okay, great. Even with Avi Mitzvah Yaakov and all the Shvatim, Baal Lokasiv Tess, there is no letter Tess. By the way, the Vilna Gaon points out that there's also no Ches or Kuf. So what are you going to do with that? Of course, the Kuf and the Ches are in Yitzchak's name, but that was beforehand. Why do we just say about the Tzadi? You could have asked about the Ches and the Kuf as well. But in any event, there's still no Tess. So Amar Vachaba Yaakov, Shifte Yeshurin Ksiv Sham. They also have the word Shifte Yeshurin, which had the Tess. So therefore, with Avi Mitzvah Yaakov and Shifte Yeshurin, plus all the Shvatim, you had all the letters of the Aleph base, and therefore you could, quote, type out any response that was needed. Nadigbar says, Meisvei, Kol Kohen, Sheinu Medabe B'Ruach HaKodesh, U'Shechina Shor Olav. If there is a Kohen that doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh and the Shechina is not with him, so ain't Sholabo. You can't ask such a Kohen such a question. He's not really right to be asking a question from him wearing the Urim Tumim. Ain't Sholabo. And we see this, Shari Shol, Tzadok, B'Otzalo. When they ask Tzadok HaKohen, questions through the Urim and Tumim, so he gave the proper answers. However, when Aviyatza was the Kohen Gadol, they asked him, below also low, it didn't happen that he got the right answers. It didn't work for him. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vayal Aviyatza Atom Kol Ha'am, it says Aviyatza Begomer, it said Aviyatza went up there and he wasn't answered. Now, here's the question. It's basically, it's a question. Both according to Reish Lakish and according to Rav Yochanan, the Urim and Tumim gave the answer. What does it have to do with the Kohen Gadol? So therefore, Sayu, you have an Messiah Badayu. This goes very well according with the understanding that the letters didn't just project out, this was letter one, this is letter two, this is letter three. They all lit up or projected out in some way that you had to have Ruach HaKodesh in order to be able to interpret it. Then we quote the Mishnah where it says, Ein Shor LeMelech, that the Melech could go and ask the Urim and Tumim. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry couldn't just go up and ask the Urim and Tumim a question. So how do we know this? We know how immediately. So Amar Rabbi Avoh. Rabbi Avoh says, it's based upon the Pasuk. The Amar quote, the Pasuk says, V'lifnei Elozer HaKohen Yamod, V'shoa lo b'mishpato Urim, l'fnei Hashem, apiv Yitzu, v'apiv Yavoh, hu v'chol b'nei Yisrael, yito v'chol weidah. Now, we have the words V'gomer over here. I read you the entire Pasuk. It's really the V'gomer that's the critical part over here of the drasha. And what is the drasha that he said? So Rabbi Avoh says, here's the drasha. When the pasuk says who, right? Who v'chol b'nei Yisrael itol v'chol weida? Who? That refers to v'zeh melech. That refers to a melech is allowed to go and ask him. In this situation, it was talking about Yeshua. Elazar was Kohen Gadol, and Yeshua was the leader of Klal Yisrael. He was the equivalent of the melech. So Yeshua went and asked him. Likewise, it says v'chol b'nei Yisrael itol. This is a reference to zeh mishuach muhama. This is the Mishuach Muhamma. So sometimes it's Kohen Gadol, sometimes the Mishuach Muhamma. And when it says V'cholo Eida, that's a reference to Sanhedrin. This refers to the Sanhedrin. They're called the Eida. And therefore, only those people, those Chosh of the people, are allowed to go and ask the Urim B'Tumim. Or, as we pointed out, if somebody's asking on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, so then they could also ask of the Urim B'Tumim. This concludes the seventh parak. This really concludes many of the actual discussions of the Avoda of Yom Kippur and Hadron Alecha Bolo Kohen Gadol, Hadron Alecha Bolo Kohen Gadol, Hadron Alecha Bolo Kohen Gadol, and we'll start the eighth parak now. And the eighth parak deals with a lot of the halachos that are more lemaisa today in terms of fasting and the inuyim of Yom HaKippurim that are all applicable today. And as well, this parak, in the eighth parak, the final parak, is going to deal with a lot of very important medical halachic shilas, such as the definition of death and other medical halachic very important shilas. So let us begin the eighth parak. Yom HaKippurim also biachila uvishasiya uvirchitza uvisicha uvinilas hasandal uvitashvish hamita. These are what are called the inuyim, the afflictions that a person is mechuyev to have on Yom Kippur. The first two, right, because there really are five afflictions we're talking about. The first two are achila and shasiya together. That's number one. Urchitza is number two. That's washing yourself. You're not allowed to wash yourself in Yom Kippur. Sicha, you're not allowed to anoint yourself in Yom Kippur. That's number three. Nilas hasandal. That is number four. You're not allowed to wear leather shoes. And Ubatasha Samita, number five, the person has to refrain from having relations with his wife. So these are the five inuyim that we have on Yom Kippur. Now, there's some exceptions to the rule. Ba'melech, the king, ba'kalo, a woman that just was married, yirchatzu aspenam, they are allowed to wash their faces. We'll explain why, because the melech always has to have a certain level of kavod, so he can't walk around with a dirty face. And the kalo, we want to make sure that she's found pleasing in the eyes of her husband, so therefore she shouldn't have a dirty face as well. Likewise, the Mishnah tells us, V'achaya, a woman that just gave birth, tinol es sandal, she can wear leather shoes. In those days, it was dangerous if she didn't wear leather shoes, and again, for concerns for her well-being, so she was allowed to wear leather shoes as well. This is the opinion, Diri Rabbi Eliezer. These are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. However, the Chachamim Osra, the Chachamim disagree. Now, it's a question that we'll discuss. Do they disagree only with the Chaya Tinol Sasando, or do they also disagree with the Melech Vakala Yichatzu Esprem? Wait till we get to the Gemara to discuss this further. And it tells us what is considered eating on Yom Kippur, that you're going to be Osir. If a person eats a certain amount of food that is the equivalent of a koseves hagasa. Hagasa means large, koseves is a date. So if you eat a large date, so this is more than a kezayis, but it is the shear that is felt by Chazal to satisfy a person that he's no longer going to be afflicted from not eating. Normally achila is a kezayis, but if you eat just the kezayis, it's not enough to remove the affliction, and the iser, at least that you'll be punished for with either Malkis or Rachmona Luslan Kares, would be that you have to eat a Koseves Hagasa because that removes the affliction from you. And now, this Koseves Hagasa, this large date, is Kamoa Uchigari Nisa. It includes the pit inside when you're figuring out this calculation of how much it is. Likewise, Vashosem Lo Lugmav, if a person drinks on Yom Kippur, he has to drink a Melo Lugmav in order to be over the punishment. He'll get Malkis and or he'll get Kares with warning if he, in fact, drinks a Melo Lugma, because that's considered, by again, the amount that will remove the affliction of being thirsty. So in both of these situations, Yechayev, Yechayev Malkus, or Yechayev Koris, Rachmana Lislan. Then the Mishnah tells us, V'chol ha'ochlin mitstarfim l'choseves, that if you have, you know, peanut butter and bread, so we don't say, well, you need to have a koseves of the peanut butter and koseves agasa of the bread. No. Any foods can combine together to make the shear of a koseves agasa. And likewise, any drinks, v'chol ha'mashkin, if you have a little bit of soda and a little bit of orange juice, and together they make up the shear of a lo lugbav, mitstarfim l'lo lugbav. You can combine any beverages, any liquids, to make the shear. It doesn't have to be one food item or one liquid. It's all food items combined to make the shear of a koseves agasa, and all liquids combined to make the shear of a lo lugbav. But you can't combine food and drink. So if you have half the share of food and half the share of liquid, we don't combine them to say you had a full share of achila or shasiya. You need a full share of achila. Separately, you need a full share of shasiya. Either one has to have its own full share in order to be Rachmana Lislan chayev. Gemara starts off and says, Aser, when you tell me that in the Mishnah it says, Yom HaKippurim Aser, it is forbidden for a person to eat. What do you mean, Aser? Aser sounds like it's a lav. Anush Karesu, this is a biggie. This is a major, major prohibition. An Isser of Kares. So Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Loi, B'itema Rabbi Yirmi, either Rabbi Loi, or Rabbi Yirmi said, Lo Nitzucha Ela L'chatzi Shir. The Aser part is telling us it's Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir is also in the Torah. It's telling us that you're still not allowed to have a Chatzi Shir. But you're only going to be chayiv kares if you have the full shear as we described. Now, the Gemara says, this is great. Honich l'man d'yomer, chatzi shear is also min ha-Torah. That works out well, according to the opinion that says the chatzi shear is osur min ha-Torah. So, of course, that's why it says it's osur. El l'man d'yomer, chatzi shear is mutter min ha-Torah, that technically you're only over the isser if you have the full shear. Eating less than a shear is only osur min d'rabbanon, because it could lead to eating the full shear. But in and of itself, it's not osur min ha-Torah, ma'ikla meimer. So then what does our Mishnah say? As according to the Mishnah, it seems to be osur min ha-Torah. So what is the opinion that says chatzi shear is mutter min ha-Torah going to say? And what is this machlokes? Famous machlokes, Ditmar, chatzi shear, what is the status of a chatzi shear? Is it osur min d'oraisa, or is it only osur min d'rabbanan? So Rav Yochanan Mar, osur min ha-Torah. Rav Yochanan tells us that chatzi shear is osur min ha-Torah. This is the famous shita of Rav Yochanan, that even any amount is osur min ha-Torah. The punishments only come when you reach the shear. And his famous bar plukta, Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish Mar, technically, on the d'oraisa level, chatzi shear is mutter min ha-Torah. Now, so ha nichol Rav Yochanan, this works out very well according to Rav Yochanan. Why our Mishnah says that it's aser? Because chatzi shear is aser min ha-Torah. That's why he uses the lashon of aser. El Rav Reish Lakish, Michael Neimar, our Mishnah really isn't telling us that it's aser min ha-Torah. According to Reish Lakish, chatzi shear is mutter min ha-Torah. So Gemara says no. Reish Lakish says aser here means mid rabbanon. Other Reish Lakish aser min ha-Torah. Even Reish Lakish, who says it may be mutter on a d'oraisa level, says, listen, we're very concerned that if you have a chatzi shear, you're going to have a full shear, and therefore, even Reish Lakish says it's aser midrabbanan. And when our Mishnah says Yom HaKippurim aser b'achila, it's talking midrabbanan, whereas Rav Yochanan would say it's talking midrabbanan. Where our question is, it says, wait a second, e hachi. So then, lo nichayev alei korban shvua. So then, if it's a chatzi shear, so then you shouldn't be chayev a shvua, because only in Issa d'oraisa would you be chayev for a shvua. For a chatzi shear, if a person, let's say, swore that I'm not going to eat a chatzi shear, and then he ate it, so he shouldn't be chayev a carbon in that situation. Lo ni chayev alei carbon shvua, because he wasn't over in Issa deraisa. Ay, aloma. Now we have aloma with the word aleph. It should really be with a hey. Aloma tanan. Then how can we learn in the Mishnah? This is a Mishnah in Shavuos where it teaches us shavua shelo ochal. If a person makes a shvua that he will not eat something, so then if he goes and eats what he said he wouldn't eat, v'achal nevelos, u'trefos, u'shkotzim, u'remoshim, he eats all of these things that are also nevela, meat that wasn't shechted, it died, or trefa, it was shechted, but it wasn't the kosher animal because it had certain anatomical abnormalities, or shkotzim, u'remoshim, all these sorts of creepy, crawly creatures that the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat. So in every one of them, he's chayiv. He has to bring a carbon for swearing falsely. Now he swore that he wouldn't eat them. Now, that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon says you're potter in this situation. Rabbi Shimon potter, because he says that you're already forbidden to eat this minat Torah. So therefore, you can't make a shul on something that the Torah tells you you're not allowed to eat. No, so that's the kasha on the Tanakama. So, v'havinu, but we asked, according to this, the Tanakama, am I chayev? Why should the Tanakama say that you're chayev? Mush bavi omid mehar sinayu. Taka, this was a very good reason that Rabbi Shimon said that you're potter, because you're already obligated from Har Sinai not to eat these things. The Baal is trafe, shkosim, muscle, all awesome in our Torah. So how come you are able to make a shvua that you're not allowed to eat it and then be transgressing that shvua? You're already not allowed to eat it. So Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, all say the Amrei, all three of them say, kecholel dvarim, amutarim in dvar musarim. It must be that you included things that were also permissible with these things that are also. So it's an iser kolel, and that is why you go and make you're transgressing your shvua, because you said I'm not going to eat kosher food as well as the veil is treifus shkosim u'mashim. But along comes Reish Lakish Amar iatamotze. You only find this situation ela b'mfarish chatzi shir, where this person specifically said I'm going to eat a chatzi shir of this. And I'll leave it the Rabbanan. And this goes according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, that in fact, that achila normally means a kizayis. So here, if the person said, I will not eat this, so then that implies a kizayis. But if he specifies specifically that he's going to eat a chatzi shir, meaning less than a kizayis, so then that's why he's chayiv. Or alternatively, obistam. Or if he didn't make such a specification that he said, I'm going to eat a chatzi shir, and we turn to ayin dalet amud aleph, and valiba the Rabbi Akiva, and it goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the Omar Adam Oser Atzma Becholshu, that a person, if he makes a shvua, it even is any amount, not only an amount of achila. Now, we just said that Reish Lakish holds over here that a chatzi shir is permitted, and it's only because he said that it's Oser is why this shvua takes effect. But our Gemara said that a chatzi shir is Oser midirabanan, so this doesn't seem to jibe. So this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll repeat this question tomorrow when we say the shir. With this, we conclude today's shir.